صلى الله عليه وسلم The Magnificent Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم The Magnificent Rasul The Magnificent Rasul
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear disciples and viewers on Madani Channel, welcome back to a new episode of the Silsila The Jewel of Creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, we'll bring to you another aspect of the life and the seerah of Sayyiduna Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in today's silsila as well, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. But before we proceed with the actual episode, let's make some good intentions in order so that we can attain more reward as well, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Make the intention that we will listen and we will watch this silsila from the beginning up until the end, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, in order to attain religious knowledge and to gain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, if it is possible, try and arrange some sort of means to note down any important points and useful points that you find throughout this silsila and episode, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, so that you can learn these. And then afterwards, you can go over them as well, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's begin with the blessings of reciting salawat and salam, peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat-i-Islami, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, he has written a very beautiful booklet, risala, entitled Ziyai Durud al-Salam, which has been translated by the Majlis-e-Tarajim of Dawat-e-Islami and been given the title Blessings of Salat and Salam. In this booklet, Shaykh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah Dawat Barakatul Aliya, he quotes that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, when people who love each other for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal meet together, they shake hands with one another and then recite salat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the past and future sins of both of them are forgiven before they separate one another. So my dear Islamic brothers, let's also make intention inshallah. When we meet our Islamic brothers inshallah, azza wa jal, whilst we're shaking hands, we will also make it part of our routine and our habit to recite the Durood-e Pak as well, salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam, at that moment as well, inshallah. عز وجل صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم جي هارون by in our previous silsila we talked about the childhood of the Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم So generally, obviously, from the childhood, when we're looking at the seerah of Rasulullah صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم, the next major event is the announcement of prophethood. The time of the first wahi that we will come onto as well. But there are some important events that led up and that were occurred before the actual event of the announcement of the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. If we can begin with a few of these events as well, inshaAllah.
So before actually announcing prophethood, there were many key events that took place in that era, in that time period. In which the involvement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also there, and one of these was the War of Fijar. And before Islam came about, before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually announced Islam, the Arabs, they were known for fighting between themselves. They were known for having battles and wars internally. And one of the most famous encounters, one of the most famous battles, is the War of Fijar, as I mentioned before. And usually what happened was that though they used to fight all year round, every battle which took place during the month of Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram and Rajab, these 4 months, was known as the Hurub-e Fijar, which is the wars of sin. And they were called these because these people, they classified these wars that happened in these times to be a sin. Because obviously these were blessed months, these were holy months. They did not like fighting in these months. So what they would do was, they would hang up their swords, they would put away their bows and arrows, and they would not fight during these months. But obviously occasionally fighting would break out, and they would have little quarrels here and there. Now the last war of sin, the last Hurub al-Fijar that took place, was between the tribe of Quraysh and the tribe of Qais. And this was a war in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also involved in. And he participated in this war with his uncle, Abu Talib, and other members of the Quraysh tribe. Although he was involved in this war, he didn't actually hit anyone himself. He didn't strike anyone himself. The only task that he was doing was he was providing arrows to the people that were obviously in fighting in the war. And the outcome of the war was that the Quraysh were first overcame by the Qais, but then eventually the Quraysh dominated, and then a truce happened and the war ended.
MashaAllah, you mentioned the event of this war. Even now, these months of Rajab, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah and Muharram, they're known as the sacred months. And even within the Ummah and the Sharia of Islam as well, there's great sanctity mentioned for these months as well. So views of Madinah channel have heard that these months, even in a time of ignorance, they were sanctified then as well. And that's why they used to refer to any wars and disputes during this this time as the wars of sin. So what's the another event that you was going to mention?
Yes, definitely. The Kibar, as you mentioned, these were holy months, and these people actually considered fighting or quarreling in this month to be a bad thing. And the state of our Ummah in this day and age is that, never mind these 4 months, even when it comes to the blessed month of Ramadan, we don't refrain from sinning. We don't refrain from bad acts. You know, you see Muslims on the roads, in the town centers, openly eating and drinking. And, you know, it just goes to show the state that we're in at the moment. Whereas back in those days, even in those 4 months, halanke, it was the time of ignorance. You know, Islam was not prevalent then. It wasn't, the announcement of Prophethood hadn't taken place. Yet still, these people would refrain from fighting and battling. So that just goes, that's a big lesson for us to, you know, just an eye-opener that we should also try and refrain, not just in these specific months or in Ramadan, but all year round from these sins, etc.
SubhanAllah. My dear friends and viewers of Madri channel, from this, the lesson that we learn from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is that we are Muslims all year round. We have to abide by the Sharia of Islam all year round. And we know within the Sharia of Islam that every moment is a moment in which we need to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gain closeness to in the court of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. If we continue to spend our time like the time of those people before the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the time of ignorance, in the time of jahiliyyah, then what difference would it be between us and those people? Definitely the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam is moments for us that changed the face of this earth. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us that we are with iman, and also alhamdulillah we are amongst the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, the best of ummahs. So what we are taking from these lessons and these events from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, we need to implement them upon our life as well, inshaAllah azza wa jal. So throughout our lifetime, we should avoid as much as possible quarreling with our Islamic brothers, quarreling within our families as well. We see nowadays family dispute is at its peak. And unfortunately, a lot of families are involved in these family disputes. If we go back to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and inshaAllah in the coming silsile and episodes, we are going to talk about the character of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and how Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam dealt with other people. And inshaAllah, when we learn from these aspects and we implement them upon ourselves, definitely they'll bring a huge benefit to us, inshaAllah.
So that was the Hurub al-Fijar. After this, obviously the continuous fighting between the Arab families, it continued. And it was really a time which was very hard for these families. for this nation. And it was such a time where there was no peace in the day or the night. And things became quite hard for these people. Even, you know, protection of their families and their wealth was a very difficult task. And what happened was, to try and change this, a few sincere individuals, they gathered and they wanted to make a change in the environment. They wanted to make a change in the society and wanted to stop this war, this battling, and they wanted to bring positivity within the people of the Arabs. So after the end of the Hurub al-Fijar, what happened was, the leaders of the Banu Hashim, the Banu Zuhra, and the Banu Asad, they gathered at the house of Abdullah bin Judan, and the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, known as Zubair bin Abdul Muttalib, he was also present at that meeting. And this uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he suggested an idea to try and bring all this fighting, this quarreling, this discomfort to an end. And what they said was that, live and let live. So we don't say nothing to you and you don't say nothing to us. And in this way, we'll try and bring a change within the society. And some of the things that they wanted to implement was to change the actual way that they lived in, yani bring peace into the environment. They wanted to protect travelers, so people that are traveling to and from or by the villages or the tribes, they wanted to protect them. Any oppressed people that they were in the tribe, they wanted to give them support. They wanted to help the poor people and in the time of need. And they didn't want any oppressor, any zalim, to reside in Makkatul Mukarramah. So these were some of the objectives that they had in mind for this agreement, for this pact. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also present in this gathering. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about this agreement that it was so dear to him that he used to say, after it happened, in those times an expensive red horse or a red camel were very expensive assets, were known to be very expensive possessions of a person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that this agreement that happened was more greater than if someone had offered me one of those. It just goes to show that how much he had inclination, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted peace to be in the environment, peace to be within the households of the Arabs.
How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is choosing the betterment of the society over materialistic wealth. Today, in our day and age, we are all worried about getting some sort of materialistic wealth and getting some sort of accumulating our wealth. That's all we're worried about. Whether we have to violate the rights of thousands of people, it doesn't bother us. But as long as we get are able to accumulate our wealth, we're happy. But the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is different to this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't want the wealth of this world, but rather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted the betterment of the society. Subhanallah.
And then this pact, this treaty, it became known as the Halful Fudul. And this definitely brought about change within the environment as time went on towards the announcement of prophethood.
MashaAllah. My dear families and viewers of Madri channel, as we've already discussed in the previous silsile, that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he with his uncle Abu Talib, he traveled a few times for business and trade. And during this entire period and the childhood and the later years of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he gained a great reputation for his trustworthiness, his honesty, and for all of these aspects and traits that they found in Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. At that time, we briefly touched upon this at the end of the previous silsila, but I would like to discuss it more because it's a great, beautiful event that took place during the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. At that time, Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was famously known to be a very modest and wealthy woman of Makkah, to such an extent that she was so high in status that every one of the leaders of the tribes of Quraysh, they wanted to marry her. This was her status in Makkah Sharif, that all of the leaders of Quraysh, they wanted her to come into their household. But she, because she was a wealthy person, she used to do trade herself as well. Once she needed someone to take her trading stock towards Syria, towards Sham, and to sell it there. And after looking around, She obviously saw Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's reputation, trustworthiness, and all of these traits that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. And she decided that she will send Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her stock towards Sham to go and sell this on. And she said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you agree to take my stock with me and sell it for me, then what I will do is I will pay you twice as much as I pay anyone normal. Because why? Because of the trustworthiness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam along with the slave of Sayyidah Hadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, they both traveled towards Sham and they continued towards this journey to sell this stock and do this trading. During this time, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the caravan and the qafila, it stopped at a particular destination, and Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala began to rest under the shade of a particular tree. And this was near a monastery of a monk. And as soon as he saw that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala is resting by the tree, with the shade of that tree, he immediately rushed out and he went to the slave of Sayyidah Hatija radiallahu ta'ala anha, because he was accompanying Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. And he asked that, who is this individual that is resting under the tree? And the slave of Sayyidah Hatija radiallahu ta'ala anha, he explained, he goes that this is the pride of Makkah. He is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu ta'ala an. And his title is Amin. He was given the title of trustworthiness from the very beginning. That monk that was in that monastery, he said that only a Nabi, a prophet, has ever sat under this tree. Only a Nabi has ever sat beneath this tree. And I can firmly say that this individual, he is the last messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I can see all of the signs of the final messenger that are mentioned within the Torah and the Injil within this individual. And then he goes on and he says that I hope that I am around when he proclaims his prophethood so that I can then serve him. And then he says to the slave that I advise you to serve him and never leave his company, because surely he is Khatimun Nabiyyin. He is the seal of the prophethood. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So this is the beautiful nature of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he continued and he completed this journey of trade. And as he arrived, Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was sitting at a high place to witness the caravan returning into Makkatul Mukarramah. And as she was seeing that, she noticed that two angels, they were giving shade to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. There's no shade anywhere else but upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then after this, the slave of Sayyidina Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he said that throughout the journey, I witnessed many miraculous actions. And then he explained these miraculous actions that took place during this journey towards Sham. And he also told them about this event that happened besides the monastery of that monk as well. And then upon when Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha witnessed all of these things, then she gave her proposal to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to accept her in his nikah as well. And at the age of 25, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he done nikah with Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, who at that time was the age of 40. And then obviously we know from the narrations that Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, throughout the remaining life of her life, she was by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam at every single moment. And inshallah we're going to come onto this as well. But what we learn from this is that how Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was known for his trustworthiness. His laqab was Al-Amin, meaning the most trustworthy. And this was a title that was given to him. And these titles, this was what Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, through his character, showed the people of Quraysh, even before the announcement of prophethood. And my dear disciples and viewers of Madrin channel, this is what we need to build in ourselves as well. This Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, up until the announcement of prophethood, showed the people of Makkah his character, showed them what an individual he was. And then only after that, when Allah Azza wa Jal blessed Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam with this permission to announce his prophethood, then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam announced his prophethood. But my dear disciples, me and you, we are Muslims. We are from the ummah of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We need to take it upon ourselves as well. We need to be the trustworthy people. We need to be those people that are truthful at all times. We don't want to be known in the society that at every opportunity this individual gets, he turns around and he deceives us. At every opportunity this individual gets, he's a cheat and he's a fraud. Rather, we are the lovers and we are the devotees of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
In fact, Fakir bhai, just touching upon this point of being salikul and ameen, it is said that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam was trusted to the extent that the kuffar, they would trust him with their possessions. And if they were to go away somewhere, or they wanted something for safekeeping, they would go to Rasulullah before he had announced prophethood, and they would give him their possessions to keep safe.
Even though that they hated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling to him with the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of Quraysh, they hated this, and they if it was up to them, they would make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a martyr. But even then, they still knew that he was a trustworthy person. Even then, they knew that even if we leave our possessions with him, he will not deceive us. And he will not take away our possessions and cause us any harm in these possessions as well. And this is the beauty of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Jiharun bhai, alhamdulillah, yes, we mentioned in relation to the grandfather of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that he radiallahu ta'ala and he used to spend his days in the cave of Hira. And we know from the seerah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam also that a certain time in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala came when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he started spending more and more time in seclusion away from the people of Makkah in this cave of Hira. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, he used to go there regularly. And then the first wahi, the first revelation also took place. And upon this first revelation, then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam announced his prophethood. Please tell the views of Madinah channel about this event of the first revelation of the Quran and the first wahi that Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam brought to Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
So when the Prophet of Rahmah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he reached the age of 40, he started to experience a new revolution. He started to see things from a different perspective. He distanced himself from the dunya, and he was more lost in the closeness of Allah Azza wa Jal, in mujahada, in trying to attain the closeness of his Lord Azza wa Jal. And then, as you mentioned, the cave of Hira, which is approximately 3 miles from Makkah al-Mukarramah, which is also known as Jabal Hira. He used to spend a lot of time in this mountain. So he used to go up this mountain, and there's a cave within this mountain, and he used to spend a lot of time contemplating and building that connection, that spirituality with himself and his Lord Azza wa Jal. And he would take enough food that he could have there for the time that he was there. And when this would finish, then either Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha would send more food for him, or he would come home and then return back. But the speciality of this cave, the speciality of this mountain that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a connection with, was with that in this very cave, the first revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal descended upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So how it happened was, one day whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in this cave, the angel of Allah, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said the word iqra, yani read. And it was a request from Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, who was the angel who's responsible for bringing revelation, for bringing wahi from Allah Azza wa Jal to the prophets. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, I will not read now. Then what happened was Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, they embraced Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they told him to repeat the word Iqra. They said Iqra, any read. And they said to him this once again. And then again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied with the same reply. And then Jibreel alayhi salam, he finally embraced Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again for the third time. And he said the first five ayahs of Surah Alaq, which are mentioned in the Holy Quran. And this was the first wahi, the first revelation that descended upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And due to this being his first experience, he was very shocked. Because obviously, receiving wahi is not any other task. This is only confined to the Anbiya. And it is beyond our comprehension how this must have happened. And Allah knows best as to in which matter and in which way this must have took place. But Rasulullah arrived to his family members in a shock. And he said that, wrap me up in a blanket. So after recovering from the state, he was in a state of fear. And he related the whole incident to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he said to her that, I fear for my life. And she tried to console him. And she said that, no, inshallah, it would be fine. And the words that she said was, that Allah Azza wa Jal will never forsake you. You are good to your family and help people in their problems. And you feed the poor and are welcoming to the guests. So she said, nothing will happen to you because you are good in these ways. And then she took him to her cousin, who was Waraka bin Nawfal. And he was asked by Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, to listen to what Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had told her. And then he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was told about the incident that took place in Ghar Hira. And then he replied that indeed this is the same angel sent by Allah Azza wa Jal to Musa alayhi salam. And it is my wish to be with you while you proclaim prophethood, yani when you announce Nabuwa. And I would also like to be present with you when you are driven out of Makkah by your people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he became amazed at this news. Because obviously it was something out of the ordinary for him. You know, this news that this Christian scholar is saying to him that, you know, how will this happen? When will this happen? So then he asked the scholar that, will the people of Makkah expel me from the city? Will they take me out of the city? And he said, yes. Whoever had declared prophethood like you was hated by the masses, and they inevitably became the enemies of these people. And then for a long time after this, the wahi had yielded, the wahi was descended upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to become anxious when receiving a wahi, until one day, from outside of his house, a voice came, which said, Muhammad. And then he looked up to the sky, and when he looked up to the sky, he saw Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam sitting on a chair between the earth and the sky. So he said to his family, cover me in a blanket. And then, after they had done so, the following verse was revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that was the verses 1 to 5 of Surah Al-Mudassir. And then after this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was ordered by Allah azza wa jal to propagate Islam, to now go out to the masses and to proclaim his prophethood and to tell the masses, to call them towards the deen of Islam. And this is the way in which the wahi, the process of the revelation upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started, and how it all came about.
Subhanallah, what a beautiful event that took place, the first revelation of the glorious Quran, the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We can just express the words, but we will never be able to understand the feeling at all. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions in the Quran the meaning of the ayah, which is that if this revelation was to be revealed upon a mountain, it would have been destroyed into dust. But Allah chose it to be revealed upon the heart of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As we mentioned about the event of the Shaku Sadr, as the opening of the chest of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. One of those moments was before the revelation in the mountain of the cave of Hira as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared the heart of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam for this revelation. But even after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still overtaken by the shock of the power of the wahi and the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, obviously, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began inviting towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly. At the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he invited secretly, one to one, as we call in the Madani environment of Dawud Sahih, infradi koshish. Okay, one to one, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to individuals and invited them towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that his blessed wife, the mother of the believer, Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the first woman to embrace Islam. His very close friend, even from before the time of the announcement of prophethood, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he was from the first men who embraced Islam. And his cousin brother, Mawla Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, he was the first child to embrace Islam. So these were the people that embraced Islam at a very early stage. And as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam announced the message of Islam, this is when these individuals embraced Islam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers on Madrin channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Today we've learned and we've discussed about this great, huge event that took place in the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam in relation to the first revelation and his announcement of prophethood. My dear Islam brothers, this is the moment in which we learn about Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam through this silsila. It's a Madani request that you keep watching Madani channel, you keep yourselves attached to the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami and gain its blessings inshaAllah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the magnificent Rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the magnificent Rasul, the magnificent Rasul.